Good morning. The Ethics, Elections, and Open Government Subcommittee meeting will now come to order. Tamara, please call the roll.
Chair Fernandez Barquin.
Here.
Representatives Arrington.
Here.
Beltran.
Here.
Bracy Davis.
Here.
Caruso. Gant. Griffith.
Here.
Harris.
Here.
Holcomb.
Here.
Schock. Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Horace.
Here.
Rizzo.
Here.
Robinson.
Here.
Roth.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Tremont.
Here.
Yarkowski.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Tamara. Please make sure cell phones and other communication devices, including laptops, are turned off or placed in silent mode. If members of the public wish to speak, please fill out an appearance form and give it to staff. The first bill up is HB 1127, Public Records and Meetings, Interstate Teacher Mobility Compact by Representative David Smith and Prime Co-Sponsor, Representative Christine Hunjofsky.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. This is a public records exemption for the Interstate Teacher Mobility Compact. That is an underlying bill that we're not hearing this morning. That's House Bill 1125 being heard in its separate committee. Both bills were together at their first stop, split to their second stop, and will come back for their third committees. But the Teacher Mobility Compact is a partnership between states and the Department of Defense that allows teacher mobility for the immediate teacher can move into the state of Florida as a part of a reciprocity agreement, begin teaching right away just through a quick background check, not the relicensing that we would normally go through. 14 states have already joined the compact. There's 11 more up this legislative session, so it will continue to grow. Not only will it allow, I think it's a step in the direction for our teacher shortage in Florida, but not just math and science and language arts teachers, it's also vocational instruction, which we are desperately need in the state of Florida. So that's the underlying bill. The governor will appoint probably the commissioner of education, because this is a Department of Education bill, and that member will sit on the new compact commission. Because those are going to be private meetings, we require a public records exemption, public meetings exemption. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, there is one amendment. Amendment barcode 250401. Representative Smith, please explain the amendment.
Thank you very much, Chairman. The amendment makes some technical changes. Often we joke about, you know, Scribner's errors or those kind of things where we're making small dog to puppy kind of changes. This, we're actually making changes. Files and information to records. That is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Members, any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, any public testimony on the amendment?
No,
sir. No public testimony. Members, any debate on the amendment? You're free to close on the amendment.
Wave closed, Chair.
If you favor the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Opposed, no. By your vote, the amendment is adopted. Public testimony on the bill as amended? No public testimony. Members, any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Smith, you're clear to close.
Wave closed, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Tamara, please call the roll on HB 1127.
Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Beltran.
Yes.
Bracy Davis.
Yes.
Caruso. Gant.
Yes.
Griffith.
Yes.
Harris.
Yes.
Holcomb.
Yes.
Shaw.
Yes.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Porras.
Yes.
Rizzo.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes.
Roth.
Yes.
Roy.
Yes.
Tremont.
Yes.
Yarkowski.
Yes.
Chair Fernandez Barquin.
Yes.
17 yays, 0 nays.
Show HB 1127 reported favorably as a committee substitute. Members, the second bill is HB 925, District School Board Direct Support Organizations by Representative McLean.
Good morning, Chairman Fernandez Barquin, Ranking Member Arrington, and Vice Chair Roth. Members, this morning I'm presenting House Bill 925. It will make some changes to the direct support organizations that are aligned with each school district. This was direct support organizations were put into statute nearly 40 years ago. Florida students, teachers, and schools benefit from a robust network of local education foundations aligned with nearly all of the 67 counties. The bill makes three changes to the public school DSO statute. First, it raises the threshold requirement to provide for an independent audit of its accounts and records from $100,000 to $250,000. Second, it clarifies that districts may contract with a vendor for the audit of their DSO. And third, the bill clarifies that school districts may contract with their DSO just like they do with other organizations that they engage with to support their mission. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions, members? Seeing no questions, there are no amendments. Any public testimony?
No, sir.
No public testimony. Members, any debate? Seeing no debate. Representative McLean, you're recognized to close on the bill.
I waive close.
Tamara, please call the roll on HB 925.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Jarkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fernandez Barking?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
Show HB 925 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members.
Now, PCS for CS HB 593, Public Records Automatic Sealing of Criminal History Records by Representative Roach.
Good morning, Chair Fernandez Barking, Ranking Member Arrington, Vice Chair Rick Roth. Members, in 2019, this legislature adopted a process providing for the automatic sealing of criminal history records by FDLE in three cases: when charges were not filed, when charges were dismissed, or when the defendant was acquitted. The problem with what we did in 2019 is that our legislation applied to FDLE, but not to the courts. So even though a record may be automatically sealed by FDLE at the state level, in many jurisdictions around the state, that record is still available to be retrieved on the county clerk's website. So we've created an inconsistency there. This bill seeks to correct that omission by providing that when a person falls into one of those three categories that I mentioned, that record can be automatically sealed at FDLE and the courts. The PCS this morning provides for a public, includes a public necessity statement because the bill closes access to certain court records. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Members, any questions on the bill? Yes, Representative Killebrew.
Thank you. Thank you, Rep. Did you have an opportunity to talk with some of the clerks in the last few days? I think there was some kind of a glitch in there for them.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, sir. I have spent a lot of time with the clerks. In fact, just yesterday I was meeting with the clerk from Martin County. Her last name escapes me. Her first name is Stacy, but she's the chair of their statewide association, along with the clerk from Polk County. And I've met with the clerk from Lee County, my home county, several times. There are a couple of things they've pointed out that I did not understand the impact that would have on their office. I'm working with them on getting some language for the next committee stop that will help address their concerns. But it's safe to say I've learned a lot about how this bill affects the nuances of how they do their job that I did not understand at first, and I'm working with them on getting some of those things fixed.
Members, any other questions? Seeing no other questions. There are no amendments. Is there public testimony? There is public testimony. Derek Tabertschoffer from Americans for Prosperity waves in support. Adam Basford from Associated Industries of Florida waves in support. Charlie Kofer from the Fourth Circuit, the public defender for the Fourth Circuit, representing the Florida Public Defenders Association, waves in support. Sulbash Katil from Crime Survivors for Safety and Justice, waves in support. Katie Botnet from Alliance for Safety and Justice, waves in support. And Keith Den Hollander from the Christian Coalition of Florida, waves in support. Members, any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Roach, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll just close by saying that this is essentially a jobs bill, members. A recent report authored by the Associated Industries of Florida, AIF, and the Alliance for Safety and Justice found that Florida, along with the rest of the country, is experiencing the worst labor shortage since World War II. And the cost associated with preventing people in these categories from reentering the workforce exceeds about $40 billion annually. So fixing this important omission from 2019 is going to help get folks back into the workforce. Thank you for your favorable support.
Thank you, Representative Tamara. You're recognized. I'm sorry, Tamara, please call the roll for BCS for CS HB 593.
Yes, sir. Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schock?
No.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Horace?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Tremont?
Yes.
Yarkowski? Yes. Chair Fernandez Barking?
Yes.
16 yeas, 1 nay.
Show PCS for CS HB 593 reported favorably as a committee substitute. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, Chairman. And I hate to be out of order, but one thing I forgot to mention in my close, I wanted to extend my gratitude to Mr. Lance Tolliver over there. We were spending some late nights, early mornings, and he sat in several meetings with me with the clerks to help finesse the details of this. So thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Tolliver. All right, members, CS for HB 1565, Town of Fort White, Columbia County, by Representative Brannon. Representative Brannon, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members. Thank you for having me. This is a local bill for the little tiny town of Fort White, Florida, in Columbia, southern Columbia County. If you're not familiar with Fort White, they're probably most famous for renting tubes to float down the Ishtuckney River. If you've attended the University of Florida, you probably did that one weekend. They're only about 3/4 of a mile wide, population of 618. They were founded in 1884 and adopted a charter in 1957. And they have recently discovered that as they have changed their charter over the years, they failed to register those changes with the Secretary of State's office. So they're backing up, putting, and redoing their charter. And this is the best way for the town to go forward. That's the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Brannon, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Representative Killebrew, if you remember the old show Hee Haw, this is probably one of those towns where they stood up in the cornfield and said, salute. And that's it. Nobody else would get that but me and you. I'll wave close. The rest of my close.
Thank you, Representative. Tamara, please call. Please call the roll on CS for HB 1565.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Horace?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Tremont?
Yes.
Yarkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fernandez Barking?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Tamara. Show CS for HB 1565 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative. Now, HB 1569, Public Records and Meetings, Elder and Vulnerable Adult Abuse Fatality Review Teams, by Representative Hawkins. Representative Hawkins, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Good morning, Chair, Vice Chair Roth, Ranking Member Arrington, members, it's good to be back in front of you again. I'm not sure I can follow up talking about Hee Haw with a member or a bill, but I am a little older than you probably think. House Bill 1569 is a public records and meetings exemption. This bill addresses public records and sunshine law exemptions for the records and case review discussions of the fatality review teams and near-fatal review teams. The public records exemption would protect confidential information such as the victim's name, address, and medical records, while also maintaining the same level of confidentiality and protection for all investigative reports as they had with the original investigative agency. the Sunshine Law exemption, which is narrowly tailored to only those portions of meetings during which the case reviews occur and confidential information of those cases is discussed. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions? Seeing no questions, there are no amendments. Any public testimony? There is public testimony. Karen Murillo from AARP wishes to speak.
Good morning. I'll be very brief.
Good morning. You are recognized.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. We'd just like to thank Representative Hawkins for sponsoring this bill. 2 years in a row now, we are very proud of this, glad to be working with him. And I'm wearing two hats today, working for AARP, but also here as a representative of the only existing team in Florida currently. So if you have any questions about the need for this bill, it is so essential, and we really appreciate your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Susan Lehrer from Seniors in Long-Term Care and their families. She's an advocacy volunteer, waves in support. Lorraine Randall. Waves in support. Members, any debate? Seeing none, Representative Hawkins, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I waive close, Mr. Chairman.
Tamara, please call the roll on HB 1569.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Hillebury?
Yes, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Here. Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Tremont?
Yes.
Barkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fernandez-Barkin?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Tamara. Show HB 1569 and reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Hawkins.
Thank you, members.
All right, HB 1277, Public Records, Persons with Disabilities Registry by Representative Plasencia. Representative Plasencia, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member. HB 1277, Public Records Exemption for Disabilities Registry, is a companion bill for HB 1275. As a point of reference, several counties and cities across the state operate a voluntary Persons with Disabilities Registry. Citizens and authorized caregivers voluntarily place themselves on this registry to make first responders aware of the enrollee's condition. This bill exempts from public records requirements all personal identifying information relating to the enrollment in the registry held by local law enforcement. This bill is also supported by the Florida Sheriff's Association. That is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions? Seeing no questions, there are no amendments. Any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, any debate? No debate. Oh, yes. Yes, Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just would like to commend Representative Plasencia. I heard this bill in a previous subcommittee. I had a few issues. She worked very diligently to address them. And not only that, but she scheduled time to come speak to me. So I was aware of the changes that she made, and I felt very involved and included in that. And I would like to thank you for that. And I feel very confident now supporting this bill.
Members, any other debate? All right, excellent. Representative Plasencia, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close, Mr. Chair.
Tamara, please call the roll on HB 1277.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Bracy Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Hillebury?
Yes, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Tremont?
Yes.
Jarkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fernandez-Barkin?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Show HB 1277 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.
Let me see here. CS for HB 1327, Public Records, Investigative Genetic Genealogy Information and Materials by Representative Anderson.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, members of the committee. Thank you for taking the time to hear CS for HB 1327. Members, this bill amends the Florida statutes to make investigative genetic genealogy materials and information confidential and exempt from public records requirements. The bill also defines what investigative genetic genealogy materials are. Since 2007, the ability to obtain this genealogical and genetic information has rapidly expanded through the use of what we call these direct-to-consumer testing companies. These kinds of testing companies can produce up to 700,000 unique genetic markers today. And some of the main companies that consumers are using that you might be familiar with are Ancestry, FamilyTree DNA, MyHeritage, and 23andMe. When consumers are using these, they're generally looking to find out what their biogeographical ancestry information is. So essentially, where on the planet did their ancestors come from? How did they get to the United States? They're identifying potential genetic relatives. So I think of this as mapping out our family tree that can go back dozens of generations. And they're also finding out health, wellness, and different kinds of trait conditions, as well as potential predispositions to illness. So when they use these services, they can elect to keep their information confidential, but most of the time, users are sharing that information with third parties. And when they do that, law enforcement has access to that information as well. And in fact, it's actually become a routine part of investigations. It's helping law enforcement quite a bit. When law enforcement has access to this, it's helping them to solve all kinds of cases, cold cases, identifying human remains, missing person cases, and solving violent crimes. Current law protects the release of this data via public records requests for active investigations. However, the law does not currently protect individuals who cooperate in these investigations or individuals' names, personal information, or other data, which is routinely released in public records requests. Most of the time when individuals' information is being released, they don't even know that it's happening. They have no knowledge of the perpetrator other than some shared DNA. FDLE fully supports this bill, as it will bolster the public's trust in law enforcement and further the genetic genealogy program, as well as law enforcement's ability to solve crime. Chairman, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions? Yes, Representative Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Representative Anderson. If I used a DNA or genealogy company, would I have to sign a waiver, or could I expressly request that my DNA not be shared? And if so, would the law enforcement agencies have access to it under this bill?
You're recognized, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for that question, Representative. I think it's important to clarify. These direct-to-consumer companies are private companies, so they have the flexibility to set their own terms and conditions of use. So they do differ. Some of them are opt-in, and some of them are opt-out. But regardless of how they operate, a user would have an ability to keep their information private. And if they did that, it would not be stored in databases that law enforcement would have access to.
Representative Gant, do you have a follow-up?
I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I just don't know how to formulate it. So I'll try. I hope you can understand. So I think of the situation with Henrietta Lacks. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a case law where a Black woman went to a college or university hospital, and then they ended up using her DNA cells to just create all type of vaccines and everything. And it was basically like work product, and her family couldn't benefit from it, and they sued, litigation, blah, 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 blah. So I'm just kind of confused about, like, what protection or what is the benefit in this bill, or what is it fixing, or what loophole is it closing, so that I can really understand what the benefit is.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. Let me walk you through an example. Maybe that will help you understand it. So when This bill isn't changing anything about the way the data is gathered or the way it's stored. What it is changing and protecting is the ability for third parties to obtain that information through public records requests. So let's say there's some sort of violent crime, right? Does that answer your question? Or you want me to walk you through the example? Okay.
Excellent. Any other questions, members? Yes, Representative Caruso.
Thank you, Chair. And I thought I had this bill figured out, but now I'm confused. So if you could you just elaborate on what is public record already and what this bill is protecting? Mm-hmm.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. So currently, all of that information would be subject to public records request. So there's a crime being investigated. The law enforcement will routinely obtain DNA. They'll routinely search these databases to find matches. So maybe it's a missing persons case. They'll be able to identify a family tree. Or they don't have to identify it. The data's already there. They obtain that data, the family tree. So now they can focus their investigative efforts on members of that family tree to try to identify where that individual might be. So we want law enforcement to be able to continue to obtain that data. Nothing's changing there. What would change, though, is after that case is closed or it's marked no longer an active case, then currently that information is subject to public records requests. So the media can get that information. Any third party can get that whole family tree and the health information, anything that's available through that DNA, those 700,000 markers, they get all of that. What this bill does is it protects those individuals from having their sensitive information released after the investigation's closed.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Any other questions, members? Yes, Representative Holcomb.
Thank you. Are we the first state doing this, or are there other states already ahead of us on this?
You recognize?
Thank you, Chair. Great question. No, we are not the first state. There are other states that do this.
Yes, Representative Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Representative, my question is, so when you mentioned, like, media and those different sources, they wouldn't have access to this information after the investigation is closed? So if an investigation is open, would they be able to still do a public records request for the information? And is it just like all of the information, or is it specific to the DNA? So like not the name, address, birthday, social, that type of information.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative. So current law would exempt that information from being released while the investigation is active. This bill would protect that information after the case is marked inactive.
Yes, Rep. Kent.
Thank you. I have one more. So in the case of like an investigative journalist, would this hamper or inhibit investigative journalism in any way if they are trying to get information after a case is closed or an investigation is closed from being able to give access? And if so, is there any type of way that information can be obtained even by like court order or something? I don't know if that's beyond the scope of the bill, but.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I believe that is pretty far beyond the scope of the bill. But it's my belief that a court order would probably would override this if a judge ordered it. But the information that's being protected is sensitive information, right? It's the health information. It's their genetic markers. There's a lot of room for abuse with this. So the intent of the bill is not necessarily to limit the ability for investigative journalism, it's to protect the individual's sensitive information.
Yes, Representative Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your indulgence. This is the last question, I promise. So it would preclude them from getting the information from the companies, but if they wanted to go through like the agency, the law enforcement agency, to get whatever information from the investigation, those parameters are still in place, correct?
Correct.
Nice. Thank you, Chair. The only thing that would change is it would protect this information from public records requests only.
All right. Members, any other questions? Seeing no other questions, is there a public testimony? I'm sorry, no amendments. Is there a public testimony? No public testimony. Members, any debate? Yes, Representative Holcomb.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say thank you for this bill. Even the military recognizes that using these sites is pretty dangerous, so I appreciate you taking this effort to keep folks' information secure.
Any other debate? Members? Yes, Rep. Gant.
I actually wasn't, but thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a very interesting topic, and it's mainly because of the Henrietta Lacks situation. And my genealogy, well, I stay clear of it simply because of the Henrietta Lacks situation and case, but it's particularly an interesting issue in the Black community and how, well, if you're Black American, you know how you came over here, but how that is used in different areas. So it has been a longstanding, I guess, fear or apprehension within the Black community about who has access to that information and how it can be used. So my questions were directed toward this longstanding conversation since these private companies have become popularized. So I appreciate the intent of the bill, and I appreciate the fact that not just anyone can get access to it, and that there is more protection for people who are curious since, you know, our history was just completely wiped away. So thank you so much.
Members, any other debate? Seeing none, Representative Anderson, you're recognized to close on the bill.
I'll waive close, Chair.
Tamara, please call the roll on CS for HB 1327.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths? Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Hillebrand?
Yes, ma'am.
Horace?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Yes. Tremont?
Yes.
Jarkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fernandez Marquez?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Tamara. Show CS for HB 1327 reported favorably.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. CS for HB 1437, Public Records Broadband Opportunity Program, DEO, by Representative Esposito. Representative Esposito, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. Members, the DEO is currently administering about $1 billion in state and federal broadband funds to deploy broadband services statewide. This bill exempts the proprietary confidential broadband mapping and network capabilities provided to the DEO from public records. Excuse me, from public record. That's the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, any debate? Oh, wait, hold on. We may have public testimony. We do. Mr. Charlie Dudley from the Florida Internet and Television Association waves in support. Thank you, Mr. Dudley. Members, any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Esposito, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close.
Thank you, Representative. Tamara, please call the roll on CS for HB 1437.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Horace?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy? Tremont?
Yes.
Jarkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fernandez Barkin?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you, Tamara. Show CS for HB 1437 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative. HB 313, Public Records, Active Duty Service Members and Families, by Representative Rudman. And prime co-sponsor, Representative Holcomb. Representative Rudman, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Vice Chair Roth, Ranking Member Arrington,
Members, I promise this will be the easiest public records bill you will hear this morning. House Bill 313 essentially restores the public records exemption to our military men and women, the same exemption they enjoyed from 2015 to 2020. That is the bill.
Members, any questions? Seeing no questions, there is one amendment, Amendment Barcode 539067. Representative Rubin, please explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the amendment, we wanted to specify exactly who is eligible for the exemption. To this end, we went back to the original language from the original draft in 2015. Specifically, we are talking about special ops forces, our soldiers who work under cover of night, who have to keep their information and their mission secret. And as such, I feel that we should protect their sensitive information. That is the amendment.
Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, any public testimony? No public testimony. Members, any debate? Yes, Representative Caruso.
Great bill, Representative. I'm not sure with an amendment if it's the easiest bill we're going to hear today.
Any other debate? Seeing none, this is a fantastic bill and a fantastic amendment. I'm sorry. Thank you very much, Representative. You are free to close on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm running this bill to protect people like my constituent, Colonel Allison Black. Colonel Black was the first female Air Force navigator to open fire in a combat setting. She was extremely good at her job, so good that the Taliban referred to her as the Angel of Death. I don't believe that the Taliban, or anyone for that matter, should have access to the colonel's phone number, her address, nor should they know where her children go to school. And with that, I close.
Thank you, Representative. If you are in favor of the adoption of the amendment, signify by saying yay.
Yay.
Opposed, no. By your vote, the amendment is adopted. Public testimony on the bill as amended. There is no public testimony. Members, any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Rudman, you are recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I encourage everybody to vote up on the bill, but if anyone wants to vote down, I simply ask that you tell the Angel of Death that personally. Thank you.
Tamara, please call the roll on HB 313.
Representative Arrington?
Yes.
Beltran?
Yes.
Gracie Davis?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Gant?
Yes.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schott?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Forrest?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes, please.
Yarkowski?
Absolutely.
Chair Fernandez-Barkin?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
Show HB 313 reported favorably as a committee substitute. Thank you very much, representatives. Our last bill of the day and of this committee's session. Representative Holcomb, you are recognized to present HB 1495, Public Records for Security and Transportation Services.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Vice Chair. Thank you, Ranking Member. Very simple bill, maybe not as simple as the previous bill, but it's a public records exemption for those security and transportation pieces of information that are held by law enforcement. And that's in regards to securing our governor, our cabinet, our speaker, and our Senate president, and possibly even a member of the House and Senate if the situation required it. That is the bill, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Seeing no questions, there are no amendments. Any public testimony? Mr. Bobby Block from the First Amendment Foundation wishes to appear and is an opponent. Mr. Block, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member. My name is Bobby Block. I'm the Executive Director of the First Amendment Foundation. I'm here in opposition to HB 1495. The bill would impose the first ever public records exemption for the transportation records held by the FDLE. Not only that, the exemption would take place retroactively, prohibiting anyone from scrutinizing how top officials have used state travel in the past. As a proponent of open records, the First Amendment Foundation understands the concerns of security officials and the need to perhaps exempt some data, especially in advance of any travel by top government officials. There are also some fields that might reveal security methods that are worthy of exemption. But to make a wholesale exemption of records of past travel serves no purpose except to keep from the public where and why our officials are traveling and how much is being spent with our money and in our name. Do these trips serve the interest of Floridians or the politicians? If you pass this bill, we will never know again. I say again because these records have historically been available. These are records that Floridians have always had precisely to answer those questions of where, why, and how much. In 1996, former government Lawton Chiles was caught using Florida's state planes to attend a Bill Clinton Al Gore fundraiser. In 2003, Florida Senate President Jim King from Jacksonville admitted to using state planes for weekend trips home, despite a state law that prohibited the use of state planes for commuting. In 2010, former Governor Charlie Crist used a state plane to promote a pro-business initiative and then attended a Miami campaign fundraiser. These abuses of taxpayer money came to light because of access to these records. Again, we understand security is a growing concern, and I believe this bill could be amended to accommodate those concerns while not keeping the records in the dark. I implore that you amend this bill so that it is more narrowly focused to protect both the safety of our public officials as well as the public's right to know. Thank you very much.
Mr. Block, Representative Beltran has a question for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming today to testify on the bill. What sort of amendment we could adopt that would protect any legitimate security concerns while also allowing sufficient government accountability?
You're recognized, Mr. Block.
Thank you very much, dear. Sorry. I think that in working with the FDLE and looking at the fields, it's very possible to remove information, particularly no information should be put out in advance of a travel. But retrospectively, the things that would be of most concern is anything that indicates methods to entail security. That information could be identified and redacted.
Follow-up question? All right. Thank you, Mr. Block.
Thank you very much.
Your testimony.
Members.
Members, any debate? Yes, Representative Caruso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Mr. Black made some valid points there about accountability and transparency and I'd like to have a conversation about that as the bill moves forward. I think it's got great intentions, but I think you made some good points. I'm up on it, though.
Representative Beltran.
Thank you, Chairman. I guess I kind of come out where Rep. Caruso is as well. I do think, you know, we have public record laws in Florida, some of the most robust in the nation. And we do, we're all subject to public record laws, and rightfully so, and so are the other agencies. And I think we do need to have some accountability given the examples that the gentleman mentioned. I think certainly, as he said, we shouldn't have advance release of, you know, locations. We should probably have some if, for example, the governor or someone's regularly stays at some particular location, that should probably be something. The exact location should probably be protected, but we do need to ensure that state resources are used for state purposes if they're going or that they're reimbursed if they're using it for personal or political or some other purpose. I would like to see the exemption narrowed, and hopefully we can accomplish that.
Thank you, Representative Robinson.
Thank you, Chair, and I don't want to repeat everything that has been said, but it was very enlightening what was spoke about Mr. Black. So at this time, I'll be down on the bill, but I would like to, if you could, in your closing, to let us know if you would be interested in looking at an amendment to address the issues.
Thank you, Representative. Members, I just want to remind you all that there is one more committee stop after this committee for this bill, so there is a potential for this to be narrowly tailored if the sponsor so wishes. So Representative Holcomb, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, to the points that are being debated, there is a periodic report that's out, and that's not going to change the. And I have a version of that report. It lists out the expenditures for the travel and the nature of the travel, personal, official. It could be a governor from another state visiting, or you know, an official from another entity coming, and the location of that. So that information is not changing. It's still going to be put out available. But obviously, we're looking at protecting means and methods used by law enforcement. So,
thank you, Representative Tamara. Please call the roll on HB 1495.
Representatives Arrington?
No.
Beltran?
Yes.
Racy Davis?
No.
Caruso?
Yes.
Gant?
No.
Griffiths?
Yes.
Harris?
No.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Schock?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Porras?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Robinson?
No.
Roth?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Tremont?
Yes.
Yurkowski?
Yes.
Chair Fernandez-Barkin?
Yes.
13 yeas, 5 nays.
Show HB 1495 reported favorably.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, it has been an absolute pleasure chairing this committee this session. I want to thank my my vice chair, my ranking member, Representative Porras, for blessing us with your presence. I want to thank Mr. Lance Tolliver, our policy chief. He's done a phenomenal job. And Tamara Latcher for being an incredible administrative assistant. Thank you very much. I also want to thank Roberta Skinner for her fantastic work, Mr. Jason Poreda, and Jake Shapiro. So thank you very much, guys. We really appreciate it, and we recognize the work that you guys do, and it's phenomenal. So thank you very much. All right. So, yeah. Yes, Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say thank you. This has been one of the most interesting experiences, and I appreciate the overall level of respect that all parties showed in this committee. And I also like to thank Shoshana, our analyst, for her work in making sure that we were prepared. So thank you.
Excellent. Well, you're very welcome, and it's been an absolute pleasure. So thank you very much. Members, this concludes our committee agenda. I hope you all have a great rest of the session. Seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Porras moves that we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.